ASR Coolin' Gang is going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I hear it was a celebration.
Who hasn't seen Coolin' the Gang?
Live? I have not seen Coolin' the Gang live. Didn't they do the Memorial
you
Park?
Might be, yeah.
That's what I thought.
I think any act that is kind of in that stage that used to be like tier A and now they're like a B, they show up at Memorial Park.
It's usually a big announcement, too.
Like, Coolin' Gang, Coolin' the Gang is like one of those that you like bumped into. You might have been somewhere.
At the airport?
All of a sudden they're playing.
Like, I saw... at a terminal?
I saw them on the deck of
a boat.
Carrier in Charleston, South Carolina.
Huh. Was the
went to a special gala?
Was the carrier moving?
No, it was. It's docked. Actually now a tourist attraction there in Charleston.
Okay,
but yeah, Cool and the Gang was playing. I was like, that's pretty cool. And now they're going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. If you're Cool in the Gang, who inducts you? That's almost like the bigger of, hey, the honor of going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Who's
going
to present?
But then who is presenting you becomes quite interesting.
Yeah. Because, I mean, this goes all the way back to like the 60s, right?
Ooh. Like the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. Cool in the Gang, like their hits. It spans at least back to the 70s.
70s, I know for sure. Yeah. I don't know it goes back
Did
to
they
the
go back
60s. 60s?
I don't think they go back to the 60s. Hmm. The 70s is like the 60s now when you do the math, though. It's very defeating.
70 is the new 50.
Yeah.
That's what it says on a, you know, that little, when you get a bazooka bubblegum.
Yeah.
And you pull off the wrapper and it gives you like words of advice.
Yeah. It sometimes gives you like a fortune.
70 is the new 50.
I think that is a good one. Because we always have to, up it a bit with the age. But I could have swore they... I thought like late 60s. I know that kind of morphs into the 70s, but either way. Who would still be around to induct them in, to present them? That's the question, because you're starting to lose a lot of great musicians from that era. So I don't know. I don't even want to say anybody because I'm afraid they're like, nope, they're no longer with us.
So you're saying you're not good at the dead or Canadian game?
No, I'm not.
Cool in the Gang, not
very
Canadian.
No. And yeah, I would be hard pressed to find someone that would make sense to present them that was from that era. That is
perhaps a Canadian.
Nickelback.
There you go. I was thinking more Rush, but fine.
Don't know what the mashup would be between Nickelback and Cool in the Gang.
I think they could figure it out. It'd be a really good get down on it.
Observation here between Crime Town and Swim Town.
Oh no.
Does it seem like Amigos is a bigger deal in Lincoln than it is in Omaha?
Yes,
100%. Yes.
The failed general manager of that softball team that plays tonight again, Jack Mitchell,
they playing
at
Amigos?
Our sister station at KLIN.
Ooh, hits and a
run. Oh, they're playing the Amigos All-Stars?
No, I don't think they're playing the Amigos All-Stars. He tweeted this out. You guys see this morning?
The Fighting
from
Crunch.
Jack.
Let me go look.
Jack's very passionate about certain things in his life, his family, his friends.
Softball.
His Royals, his Nebraska basketball, and trying to avoid getting no hit in a slow-pitch softball game. Now, I did get some intel from the extremely talented Matt McMaster, who is graduating. Shout out to him from the journalism school here in the next month, but also dabbles a little bit at KLIN. He said, yeah, it was rough, but he said, I was the guy that carried the team. I hope that's brought up tonight in the dugout. But they're back playing again tonight.
Who carries anybody when you are no hit?
Well, he told me he was the only guy that got on base.
Oh, so this wasn't a perfect game.
Yeah.
He got walked.
Matt McMaster is the Ryan Theriot of the Jack Mitchell All-Stars.
Yeah. So I did see what he was tweeting. This was a thing already, I think, at Omaha.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So
it was recent. But
one of the greatest memories, if you were in school about the same time I was in Lincoln, was the Amigos downtown. It's very sad now. You walk by it. It's boarded up.
That sounds amazing.
Nothing has changed. But that's where I went to meet Sheriff Woody. Jimmy Williams and I became friends because he was helping out all the athletes buying their meals.
Not Jimmy with one M?
No.
Okay.
There were other things that would go on after two at the Amigos in downtown Lincoln that were just, I could write a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a lot of my information there because there were a lot of athletes that came in there. And, you know, I like to eat and drink. And so 2 a.m. I was in the Amigos. Again, it is very, very sad that place
wonderful.
Is just falling down. Nothing has come in to replace it because there are so many memories there, including at the salsa bar. Now, some people will never, ever be able to come over incidents at the salsa bar, and that's okay. Because that's always a good conversation starter. Hey, weren't you the guy? Yeah.
Was there a food fight at the salsa bar?
Google.
Oh.
Do you not know this story?
I don't think so. Usually.
Oh, just Google it. Nebraska football, Amigo Salsa Bar.
Oh.
And then I want your reaction here while I read this. Jack says they're bringing back their salsa bars with ranch back to their dine-in location starting Wednesday, extending all closing hours to 9 p.m. or later. Also, they're bringing back table service and free mints.
Oh, my.
I'd remember the free mints. That was actually, you'd always get the little peppermint mint in your bag. It was great.
Hey, I knew this guy. I liked him. He's a good
player. Well, you still should like him. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Just made a mistake that became a national story. And, I mean, we've all been there. It just, I've never played linebacker for Nebraska or rush end.
Yeah, this guy was great.
So you're saying, so how many standalone Amigos do we have in Omaha? Seems like they're attached to ice cream parlors.
Yeah, that's true. So you got the one on Dodge, but that's also attached to a.
And I don't go there because it is the jankiest drive-through in all of America.
No, it is. It goes the opposite way. Yeah. Right. It's backwards.
Are you reading the entire article?
Oh, hero.
But you have to hear friends of his tell the story because it's even better.
I ain't judging. We've all had friends or been in that.
I mean, anytime you do think, that was the first thing I thought of when Omaha, I think maybe the 84th and Dodge has it. And so there's also one on 150th or 144th and Maple. Now I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I know there's a few more that exist in Omaha.
So you say they already have these in Omaha?
They announced that the salsa bar came back in Omaha. So I think it's already in place in Omaha. But this was recent. This was
so
in the last like few months.
So they've just gotten rid of COVID in Lincoln is what you're saying.
Yeah, they're just a little bit late. But anybody who...
Omaha greater than Lincoln. Take that, Matt Rule.
Yeah. We got the salsa bar before y'all did. Or I'm sorry, we brought it back. Before you all did.
Some positivity to send towards Jack and his team. I last week compared them to the 89 Steelers who lost the opener to the Browns 51-0. They lost game two at Cincinnati 41-10. So they're probably going to lose tonight, but they should get a couple of runs. However, following those two games, they won two in a row.
Yep.
It's coming. Finished 9-7.
Says the guy whose baseball team is 7-16.
Damn, they won a game.
Come on, Jimmy was being positive there. Why do you got to bring him back down?
No, he knows I haven't. I've thought about that this week. They're in
bad shape. The Nationals are 10-11. Watch out. Mitchell Parker looked pretty good yesterday.
And I know a lot of people, when they even heard the Omaha locations were bringing the salsa bar back, you immediately think of a Kelsey brother. So that's just.
Who? Never heard of this.
Yeah. What's the story?
I don't blame him.
That's the story.
I know nothing.
I really wish I was there. I just wish I was there.
I just been like, well, he's doing it.
When you decide to belly up to the salsa bar.
He knows what's up. I just sat there, had a conversation.
And I thought it was normal. I just didn't play football at Nebraska and have that become a...
Hey.
Well, you thought it was normal just to belly up to the salsa bar?
I miss Sheriff Woody. Woody was fantastic. We became lifelong friends and an amigos. Who would have thought that? Some people go to like a White Castle to get engaged. I went to an Amigos to become friends with a Lancaster County sheriff. God, life was great back then. Then things got complicated, and they started making rules for you outside of going to college.
You never know the twists and turns that life will take you, or the places that you will intersect with people that you hold near and dear to your heart, Gary.
And
Woody was one of the biggest supporters. Well, still one of the biggest supporters of Nebraska baseball. So that's how we bonded. Mm-hmm. And he gave me, you know, when they give the cops the cards, like football cards and baseball cards, he gave me those.
Oh, did he give you a sticker too?
No, and he didn't let me sit in
sticker?
He didn't let me sit in the patrol car and turn on the sirens.
Oh, gosh.
Just take me home and I'll make a scene.
Now, here is the true test of how tight you guys were. Did he say, if you ever get pulled over, you can use my name?
Hell no.
I always feel like that was a farce. I always felt like everyone knew somebody like, I just got to bring up so-and-so's name because her brother is a cop. If I just say his name, I get out of it. First of all, I've never had the cojones to try that anytime I've been pulled over.
Who the hell's Andy Sipowicz?
I do know a few people in law enforcement. I've never in my wildest dreams even thought of like, so Yeah, I was going maybe a little bit fast. But you know what? I just got off the phone with my good buddy, insert officer's name right there, because I'm afraid then, what are you trying to bribe me, son? Yeah, I get scared.
I just try to avoid those in all kinds of situations. Yeah. So I know you got excited about Connor Asigian.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying you have any reason not to be. But I do, one interesting thing about him is he did have some fairly good options of places that would help with spacing and, you know, some places that are known for running sets to get guys of his skill set open. But he chose Nebraska. And I'm wondering what Fred Hoiberg can do for him.
That's the most intriguing thing for me when I remember seeing Connor Asigian as a starter. And, I mean, he stood out. He was a freshman sharpshooter. He was a guy that knocked down a lot of shots. And then you see this year, even in the game at the Kohl Center, where he comes off the bench and he's a major impact. Part of his game hasn't eluded him. Now, you asked probably the most important question. Is he okay? And we were talking about a back injury early in the year.
He battled a back injury for a while.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's obviously a big question. But this even takes me back to the types of players. And I'm trying to move past this when it comes to Fred. But I still remember those Iowa State teams that were just lethal beyond the arc. And they had options. It wasn't just one guy. They would have three or four guys at any given moment that could just torch you. And in a offense where you're going to be in space, demand space to not only for yourself, but to help out the entire offensive system, his stroke is something that reminds me of those types of players that they had at Iowa State. And even to some extent that you've seen here now recently in Nebraska, where you got a lot more contributors shooting the three. So to me, I think Connor Asigian, he represents that. Now, will it fulfill that? Because given his health, where his confidence level is, all of those things, I just think that Fred sees a guy that fits that mold very well. And I think Fred sees a guy that it can obviously help out this team in a variety of roles, whether it's as a starter or as a guy that is going to play a lot of minutes coming off the bench in moments. I feel like this is, he represents, that's the thing. I don't think he is that guy, and this is, you cannot miss on him, but I think at his best, he represents that type of player that I think can really work out well in Fred's system.
He's a three-point shooter. They've upgraded their ability to shoot consistently from inside of the arc and beyond the arc, if you look at who they lost. Now, one thing, I think Fred's forte is big men and developing them. But I will say Tominaga and Wilcher both became better three-point shooters under Fred, mm-hmm. whether it be tutelage or sets that they would run to get those guys open, and I think it's a little bit of a combination of both. Asigian isn't a great defender. But he's got a quick release. He's a three-point shooter. I'd like to know more about what happened at Wisconsin. Like, I know it was the back, time was limited. Did you really fall that far behind on the depth chart?
Yeah.
Even if you would have stayed this year, would you still been behind on the depth chart with some of their defections? I think it's a good pickup, but I can't get overly excited about just shooters if I think where Nebraska needs to go. Because now it's on to big men.
Yeah.
If you're not going to get me any big men, then I'm not going to go, you know, gaga for Fruity Pebbles in this offseason.
I could go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Yeah, I know. I couldn't think of the phrase. Screw that
thing. I liked
up.
It, though. It worked. I knew where you're going.
I'm an OG.
I knew where you're going.
Their shooting is better. They have more options. But, man, I need some big men. I think that's with the last two. Igor, come on down. Join mm-hmm. the Whites. Anybody else that is out there, but Asigian, I think he's got a chance to be a starter. I don't think he's your point guard, but I think he's got a chance to be a starter. And this is how I look at Nebraska's offseason. Will any of these additions elevate Bryce Williams? Or
can Bryce Williams elevate these guys?
Yeah, but I mean, you got to have... I mean, Bryce Williams is your dude.
Mm-hmm.
Has to be all Big Ten caliber, 15-6, play 30 minutes a game, about 38-39% behind the arc. Is there anybody that's being added that helps the Bryce Williams game? And then, as you just alluded to, vice versa.
Yep. Because I think that you answer that question by saying, okay, if these guys can elevate Bryce Williams' game, part of that is going to be what he's doing on a consistent basis night in and night out. But also, then you look at the production around him because teams have to spend so much time trying to stop him, trying to neutralize him. And that also goes back to the big man factor and the ability to kick it out, the ability to – if Connor Cision and Griffiths and all the different options that they have beyond the arc are going to be effective, there does need to be a presence inside to where that ball's going in, coming right back out, where there's actually respect of anytime that ball goes into the paint, that you have a legitimate defensive emphasis on trying to slow that person down. And then this goes back to Bryce Williams of a true wing who can try to create buckets in a variety of ways. I cannot stress it enough. I love the way Bryce Williams ended the season. And I think that that is an area that if you can pick up from where you left off, given the pieces that you now have around you as well, it's exciting. Now,
You think he's going to be? You think he'll be used differently than he was at Wisconsin?
Connor Cision?
Yeah.
Boy, I hope so. I hope, first of all, I hope there's more of a permanent role carved out for him. And whether that is as a starter or a guy that you know is going to be your sixth man, because even at Wisconsin, correct me if I'm wrong, there were games that he maybe even played 4 or 5 minutes. Like there just wasn't a real consistent role for him that I would think, especially for a guy, you know, in transition, would be a great trailer piece that you got in those looks when Nebraska wants to move it up. I think there's a lot about his ability to get off a shot quickly and spark an offensive run that I think more than anything, whether his role is different, I would just say more consistent minutes. And that part of that's going to be up to Connor Cision as well. Health could be a factor. I don't know. But I think that it's kind of the question of him is if he's coming to Nebraska, I would like to think that that has been communicated with him of how they see him, how they best see him, and the type of presence that he needs to have in this offense. Because I think Gavin Griffiths is also very interesting when it comes to a lengthier guy that is going to roam more on the perimeter. And then you get a guy like Connor Cision, who's not Gavin Griffiths is obviously taller and has more length, but a guy that is going to be able to go in different spots of the court, and he's going to hurt you.
Yeah, he had some options. I think what Fred sold him, and I haven't read any lengthy interview that Cision has done since he committed. Why was Fred the right guy for him?
That's a great question.
For his game. Now, there is two things with the addition of Griffiths and Cision. I do love the fact that they're not one-and-done guys, that they also have played a considerable amount of Big Ten basketball.
Right.
So you're used to what it takes in a night-in and night-out basis. One playing 1 year, the other playing 2 years. But they do have tread on the tires. They do have some experience playing in this conference where if you go into a certain arena, it's not going to be foreign to you.
Well, that's what I wrote
against
Bryce.
The team, you know, like you learn. Like, yeah, like Bryce Williams' example, they'll learn from year one in the Big Ten to year two. But there's also everybody else learns about you.
Sure. I think that what Bryce put on film at the end of the season last year, it'll get attention. There's no question. But I also think that this is probably the worst way to describe it. When he wasn't as involved or a little more inconsistent, you always wondered, at least I did, because the body language, it never changes. So when it's very even keel, sometimes you wonder the overall interest level of what's going on. I think that's the type of guy he is as far as he is extremely even keel. He's a guy that doesn't really have an accelerated heartbeat, which I think is great after taking in a full year of what teams will now try to throw at you, but also having confidence of your ability to score to high volume in the Big Ten. It's potentially there for Bryce Williams to have, I think, a big season. But I think the one true remaining factor is what type of a big man and the type of impact that person can have in this lineup. Because there are some really good perimeter pieces that I'm excited about. But I think a lot of it is all for naught if you don't have at least something that you can respect.
What would your starting five be today if you're under the belief that Rink Mast is coming back?
I think it would be Rink. You would have, obviously, Bryce Williams. Raleigh Worcester, I think, is going to be your point guard. So I think that there's your top three. Then this is the question where, who do you get as a big man, and what is your overall role right out of the gate for Connor Cision, because is Gavin Griffiths a starter? And do you then do you go with your big man, whoever that big man will be? That would probably be my starting five, with Griffith is your other starter, is essentially a combo 2-3. And then you've got, hopefully, a true five, and then you've got Rinkmass as your four. And you have Connor Cision coming off the bench. You could flip that. It could be maybe Gavin Griffiths coming off the bench, and you could have Connor Cision as a starter. I think those two maybe are a little bit interchangeable from that standpoint, but that's probably where I'd see the starting five.
What would you do with Juwan Gary then?
Oh, Jesus, my God, I forgot about Juwan. Okay, yes, scrap that. Yes, Juwan Gary. So Juwan Gary, Rinkmass, big man, and then you're probably going Raleigh Worcester and Bryce, yeah.
Zach writes in.
So Jesus, how do I forget Juwan Gary?
To, keep everybody centered here about Nebraska basketball, adding a Wisconsin shooter. Nebraska basketball isn't going to get a legitimate Big Ten center this offseason, and neither of the post players they're going after right now are going to fill that need. Igor Milich is another Mass 2.0 stretch four, and William Kyle is an Alec-type power forward. Neither of these guys are legitimate Big Ten centers. All right, Zach, I want to ask about Connor Cision. Just leave that one on hold right there. I'll ask the question to Jacob. Is Nebraska basketball today better than they were when they left Memphis? On paper. Mm. On paper. He'll join us coming up at the top of the hour on Mornings with Sharp and Hanley and Jimmy on 1620 The Zone.